There's a new kind of paganism who worshipped and served the creature more than the creator. An overwhelming majority have become devotees to natural law. This majority accepts natural law as the alpha and omega. There can be no variance. To promulgate anything superior is barbaric. It suggests insult to reigning intelligence. Now, this paganism has blunted the message of healing. Healing must move within the defined borders of natural law. This paganism takes a second and a third look at the book of Acts and raises questioning eyebrows. This paganism makes God a prisoner in his own house. The ascendancy of the outdoors fills our pulpits with apology. From the golf course to the beach, the altar of God becomes subservient. Obedient service is offered to the sun and the moon and the stars, and these are today's monitors of life under the new paganism. Against this, God has risen in times past, and the Bible assures me that a new visitation is in the making. So much of our economic wealth is tied to the sun, the source of light and heat and energy and vegetable life. And we brown our bodies to show our allegiance. We design our buildings to measure our appreciation. We turn our clocks in testimony. Today's laboratories reveal that the material constituents are the same metals that compose this planet. And this giant light has always fascinated mankind. Nature lovers have never been without a cult. Page after Old Testament page wrestles with Baal, or Lord. Egyptians ordered their lives and destiny by Ra, the sun god. The Phoenicians worshipped it as Chemosh. The descendants of Lot served this big lamp as Moloch. The sun was the benefactor, the master. The sun was the ultimate authority. So priestcraft, with promise and penalty, promoted sun worship. Spiritual contest is a matter of Bible record. Moses spoke the word of God to Israel. Take heed, he said, unto yourselves, lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them. No one argues with natural law, mister, its favor and its frown. But there is a law above natural law. That's what Christian revelation says. It can say no less and remain the gospel of Jesus Christ. This was the conviction of Job. It is the heart of his amazing struggle. Job says, if I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart hath been secretly enticed, or my mouth hath kissed my hand as a devotee, this also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied the God that is above. Multiple thousands who build church real estate and then prostrate themselves at the altar of nature should read these words of Job. In subtle, devious roots, the apostles of spiritual decadence, Darwin and Wallace and Spencer and their progeny, have superseded God by their unswerving avowal to natural law. They ascribe all authority. It becomes premise and fix. They thrust deification upon sun, moon, and stars. They allow no alternate. They make the modern campus its cathedral. To all extent, the material universe is God. And Job warns, this also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge. For I should have denied the God that is above. Those words present the entire case, sir. A record and revelation prove that God is not chained by his own laws. He is the master of the universe, not its menial. Let the full gospel pulpit proclaim it loudly. God has, does, and will interrupt the course of nature. This is the triumph of my faith. Bar it, and I'm reduced to a godless potpourri of science and philosophy that rules out a personal God. The Bible, mister, is either fancy, fraud, or fact. If it is fact, and our president must still place his hand upon its pages and swear to uphold and protect the Constitution and Bill of Rights of this nation, the intervention of God is clearly chronicled. There is the case of Egypt, past and future. Ezekiel speaks of the future defeat of Egypt. When I shall put thee out, I will cover the heaven and make the stars thereof dark, and I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light, and all the bright lights of heaven will I make dark over thee, and set darkness upon thy land, saith the Lord God. Now someone, mister, can turn off the light. It happened before along the Nile. The account in Exodus says, 3 days they saw not one another. Yet nearby, Israelites enjoyed normal conditions. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Mankind must reckon with more than natural law, sir. Mankind must reckon with God. Now that's why Christ warned that as the grace of God closes, there will be fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. The sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars or the meteors shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now think about it. Fearful sights and great signs. God intends to write it big enough that it will upstage Hollywood and Broadway and reduce the hypotheses of these professors of protest to laughable science so-called. This factor of overruling natural law in the end time was noted by many, many of the prophets. Joel underlines it. The sun and the moon shall be dark. The stars shall withdraw their shining. God did it at the death of his son, about the sixth hour. There was darkness in all the land. Habakkuk talks about it. The sun and the moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. The prophet identifies the time and the circumstance. He says it will be at the hour when God goes forth for the salvation of his people, when he will wound the head of the house of the wicked one, the Antichrist. Nature is subservient to God, lady. Believe it, and you believe in miracle. Deny it, and your religion is rationally dull. You might as well substitute an almanac for the Bible. It's a matter of record that God intervenes to save. Whatever natural law he must suspend, what is forecast for Israel by Joel and Habakkuk will be a replay of what happened under Joshua. When Israel was threatened and forces of wrong would have diverted the plan and purpose of God, Joshua exercised faith. He was opposed by 4 Canaanitish kings. That day, hell allied to defeat God's people. But the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And Joel and Habakkuk state that God will do it again at the time of Antichrist, when this threat of the end time poses extinction for God's witness on earth. And it happened in Hezekiah's time. The clutches of a blaspheming Sennacherib, with every conceivable pressure from hell, reached toward this believer to choke away his life and his testimony. But God brought again the shadow of the degrees which had gone down in the sundial of Ahaz 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it had gone down. That was known to those fathers of astronomy, the Chaldeans. 2 Chronicles 32:31 tells us that they sent ambassadors unto Hezekiah to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land. So God reigns over the physical universe. Your pulpit must proclaim that, preacher, or you surrender to the new suave, intolerant paganism that makes your congregation worshipers of the sun and the moon and the stars and the tides. I respect natural law. I'm not going to step out from the window of the 18th story of some building and defy the law of gravity. God placed these laws for rule and order, and I appreciate scholars who have defined and cataloged them. But I worship a God to whom these laws are subservient. He has suspended them. He will again. He will move anything that is needed to save, whether it be for a nation or for an individual. So don't deify matter. Look beyond matter. And when you do, you can expect and experience healing and provision. Those who only know natural laws can only tell you the verdict of natural laws. Those who know God can tell you the triumphs of grace. General Eisenhower writes about the intervention in the weather that would have canceled the invasion of D-Day. That intervention wrote history. It spelled the end to Hitler's evil dream. And General Eisenhower acknowledged that a superior being capable of decision and administration affected that change. Oh, I believe it. Now that's your salvation, mister. Natural law condemns you. The grace of God saves you. You need more than the beach or the penthouse or a science laboratory or the golf course or your barbecue patio. You need Calvary. You need the altar. Now, you don't have to have priest, rabbi, or preacher explain the presence of God to you. It's something you experience, and you're experiencing it now. God's dealing with you, and this is the moment to seek his favor at the long, long altar. Yes, there's room for you in these next 10 seconds.
There's room.